Radio Australia, on air and online at radioaustralia.net.au.
This is Radio Australia. Time for our regular Thursday segment on technology. Maurice Misiolowski is a business futurist, and this week he is looking at the future of music. We have been playing you some music today, as we do every day at this time, but how we experience it at home, how we store it, as well as some trends in the music world to do with the business models of selling music, is in for an interesting turn in its how it does business in the future. Maurice, welcome very much to Radio Australia.
Hello.
Hello. Well, some observers are saying the industry is in for a seismic shift. Do you think things will change that drastically?
I think things have changed drastically already. I think the seismic shift is well under control and well underway, I should say, and we've still got a little way to go. What's interesting is the music industry is almost like the canary in the cage, meaning that it's gone through changes for the last 10 years or so, and many other industries are just beginning to go through those changes as well. So there's lots of lessons we can learn from it.
Well, tell us about some of the changes. The most obvious one, I guess, would be this trend towards having a little mobile device that you carry with you wherever you go, and you've got those little earphones. Sometimes it'll, not a safe thing to do if you've got those plugged in your ears and you're crossing the street, but nevertheless, in most places, that's how you carry your music with you and listen and experience your music these days.
And isn't it incredible how often you walk down the street or sit in the train or a bus or an aeroplane and people have earbuds in their ears. I mean, obviously earbuds in their ears. It's just amazing. And you're right, but you talked about seismic shift, but that is a seismic shift in itself. Up until this incarnation where music has become synthetic, meaning it really has no tactile form except to be inside of a box, inside of an MP3 player of some kind, it always had a tactile form to it. It was a CD, it was a cassette, it was a piece of vinyl, it was an 8-track, it was something. And many, many people lament that. The audiophiles
lament that.
You know, the physicality of being able to go into a store to buy something, to bring it home, the
removing
smell.
Removing that CD sleeve, being able to look through or thumb through some photos of your favourite artist and looking at the whole beautifully pictured, beautifully, I don't know what you call it, maneuvering of words and graphics.
So the nostalgia of it in many ways is one of the issues, is one of the things that we're missing now, because of course that's not around anymore. CDs are still selling, but they're on the wane. It's really been one of the longest declines I've seen for a while. We've talked about it disappearing really since about 2000 or so when the MP3 player became popular. But still, 11 years later, we're still selling them. Less and less, but we're still selling them. But you're right, the move across is we're now seeing generations, you know, that Generation Z, that group of between 12 and 24-year-old, who have never ever seen or never really experienced a CD or a record in the way my generation, I'm a baby boomer, the way my generation did. In other words, all they've ever known is digital music. So for them, it makes perfect sense that what they have then is something that they can download. It comes from the sky or the clouds, and it ends up on an MP3 player. Now, we're not talking about illegal stuff. We're talking about totally legal. We're talking about buying it from places and paying whatever it is for it. But that's the way they see the world. Also, fundamental shifts in differences. In my day, again, going back to that, which my kids love to hear, we bought whole records. And you used to, even if you wanted one song, it was a matter of buying the whole record to experience that one song. And you ended up with the other 12 or whatever, 11, 12 songs as part of it. And you followed an artist and you bought those artists' albums. It's not so much that case anymore. I mean, obviously, people are now buying a single. So they're not really buying an album anymore, and that's a different experience to the one that we had. Again, not good or bad, just a difference in the shift of music. And they're not,
poses new challenges if you're an artist.
It absolutely does, because you're not selling 13 songs or 14 songs anymore, and you don't have 14 songs out there that people can slowly get used to, because the top 10 charts was usually made up of one song that went really, really well, and the other ones were a bit slower, meaning people took a while to warm to them. But after they listened to the album a few times, there was another song that became their favourite, and that became a top 10 chart here. So that's different, that whole dynamic. But what's interesting in that dynamic is that the other thing that we've lost is the intermediary. We've lost the record the record label. It used to, for the last 100 years or so, we used to have the artist and we had the consumer at both ends. And in between that person was a logistics person, was somebody who put together the artist, wrapped it into an album, gave it artwork, and then marketed it.
Upcoming artists had to hurry up to.
Exactly.
In order to get their name out there or to get anywhere, really, in the music world.
Yeah, and the consumer had to go through that intermediary to buy the album, to buy the CD, that's gone. And that's been the seismic shift. The seismic shift now is that we're back to what we were a couple of hundred years ago when we're talking directly to an artist, which is really what the artisan did, what's what the courtier did. It's what the person did when they wandered from village to village and they sang their song or they performed. They performed it in front of the person that enjoyed it and they put their cap out and they got some money into their cap. And that's pretty much in a crude way saying how they made their living. We're almost going back to that now. We're going back to that really strong relationship between artist and consumer, and that's where the seismic shift is, because the intermediary is having to find a new place for themselves and they're trying to shoehorn in, and they have very good purposes in being there, but they're very different from what they were before. We don't need them to distribute and we don't need them so much to promote either, because we find out through social media, through all kinds of other forms, who these artists are, where they're playing, what their songs are. So that relationship in itself is the fundamental shift that we're seeing, as well as the technology that we're playing it on.
So how do you successfully, if you're an artist, you're trying to get your music out there, some people have it better than others. They've been in the public space, public consciousness for quite a while now. You have an image out there and people want, they look out for your new single. But if you're just up and coming, you're just under the radar, how do you do this?
In a completely different way now. I mean, we only need to look at some of the pop stars of the last couple of years, you know, the Justin Biebers of the world. A lot of them come through, and YouTube isn't the best example of how to do it, but it's really the popularity that this social networking does. And that's the answer to your question nowadays, seems to be more and more through community, more and more through self-promotion, through social media, through other people picking up the work and then carrying the work forward for you. It's not unusual now for bands of all sizes, even ones that have been around for a long time, to put out a piece of free music that people download, again, for that viral nature of it. We'll give you a song. This is the new song. We've literally just come out of the studio. Often that's what they say. We just recorded this yesterday or this morning. Here's a song available for you. And what they're hoping to do is to spread that music across the network so people pick it up, they love it. And enough people, strangely enough, will buy it, because many people do actually buy it even though they have the download, because the download is not of as good quality. It doesn't have the complete lyrics. It's not the complete piece. For some reason, there's a purpose of buying the other piece. But what's interesting also is that if you talk to people who are putting out music now, they're saying increasingly that the money doesn't come from the music itself, in other words, from the album or the CD anymore. It actually comes from the live performances. It comes from the merchandising.
That's the way they've been doing it in Russia. Yes. Just because piracy is such a problem there, yes, they just could not rely on the sales of music.
Yes, and that I'm finding that for much of the music industry is what they're coming to terms with, and that's the big difference. But again, going back a while, if you talk to artists, many of them really didn't make much money out of the albums anyway, even though they might have sold a million albums or a half a million albums in their pocket. They really weren't able to buy a hell of a lot because the intermediary and that whole big show that went around putting it out sucked up a lot of money. So I'm finding artists are increasingly coming to the point of view that it would be great to make money off the album itself, off the songs, but the reality is that we're not going to make a lot out of that. It's more for promotion. It's more for getting our name out and for people being excited about who we are, and we want to get them into live venues. We want to get them into concert halls. We want to sell them merchandise. We want to upsell them. And what we're finding that works really well with that is statistically that live band performances have increased over the last 5 years. So people attending live band performances, I should say, have increased over the last 5 years. So without trying, without anybody sitting down and saying that's the formula, it seems to be where we're headed as a society. Love our music, still do, always have, and I think always will. We can get it on our MP3 player, which means more people are actually listening to it than they ever have before, because they have their music on them 24/7, basically. And the love of listening to it means as soon as they hear a band coming into town or they've some other opportunity to see them, they're in there and they're doing it at a live pace. You know, they're paying their money, they're buying the T-shirts, they're doing whatever else. And that seems to be where a lot of the money's coming from in that sense.
Something tells me that the big music companies aren't going to go away quietly. Do you know anything about how they are trying to remodel themselves just so that they don't miss out?
Well, in many, many ways, I don't think anyone, I mean, I've not seen the perfect example of what they need to do. The reality is, I think for many of them, they can see the writings on the wall. This is not a desire on my part or anyone in our industry for them to disappear. It's a matter of them finding relevancy into the future. And the relevance into the future, I think, will come by by helping to promote. I think that is a big part of what they can do. There's a lot to be said for fostering talent as well, because the talent, even though, you know, somebody can sing or somebody has some performing, doesn't mean they don't need to be crafted. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to massage them, to teach them how to work in the industry, how to be appropriate to the industry, how to make money out of the industry. So I think that there is work that can be done for that middleman, for that middle person, the record label, so to speak, but the work that they do will be very, very different. And I think it's going to have to be on a piecemeal basis, meaning that every artist, every opportunity will have to be looked at differently for what they can bring to the table.
So what about figures like Simon Cowell from American Idol? Will that sort of figure still be around?
I think so. I mean, really what you're talking about there is the impresario, you know, the old-fashioned word of impresario or patron, and that's been around for ever since we were put on earth, that somebody saw somebody with talent and they went behind them and gave them money or gave them contacts or did something to help to progress their career. I think that actually is part of the model for our middlemen, you know, for the record labels and the rest of it, to be that kind of an impresario, to go back to that model, but not to be so caught up in the physicality, because we've lost that. And I think from my reading and my speaking with many people in this industry, they're still caught up in the nostalgia of the physicality. In other words, they lament the fact the CD's gone, they lament that record stores or CD stores are diminishing. All of those things are lamentable, but they're not coming back.
No, they're not, and that nostalgia is going to die with this generation, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
But mind you, the other trend that we have seen is that nostalgia is bringing in money. It's an entire niche of its own, and definitely there is money to be made there. Yeah. That's another spin-off to this. But the way we're storing music is also different. It's all going up in that cloud thing that we keep hearing about. What can you tell us about any movements there?
Sure. So what we're finding now are that one of the big waves forward, so the question is, if we're not buying records, which we haven't bought for years, if we're not buying CDs, but we're listening to more music, how are we getting the music? So certainly we have access to some libraries and we're paying per song, so we're paying a couple of dollars or whatever to download it. But one of the things that's on the horizon and many people say will be the next big format for getting music is what's called live streaming. And live streaming is where a company puts together quite a large library of songs, often in the millions, tens of millions of songs, and they allow you, very much like a radio on your device, so you've got your MP3 player, and like a radio, you can tune in and choose the songs that you want to listen to. So from the 15 million songs or whatever they have, you choose whatever songs and whatever format you want, and you can listen to them. Why it's like radio, for my mind, is that you don't actually own them. They don't reside or live on your MP3 player, so you've got nothing there except for the listening experience.
But you can choose what to listen
absolutely.
When you want to listen
absolutely.
To it.
So you make your own mixes. You go through the 15 million, you choose the songs you want to listen to. You can listen to the same song 100 times if you want. There's no issue around that. But you physically or virtually don't have a copy of it anywhere that's on your MP3 player. It's streamed down. That seems to be the model that's working. In Australia, we're fairly slow at that. There are some better examples in America and Europe. There are some large brands already that are well known by people that live there. They work on a subscription model, so it's usually between $5 and $10 seems to be in local currency, $5 and $10 a month. In other words, five bars, you're fairly a lesser quality when it's downloaded, and sometimes some ads or something in between.
So you've got options for every budget.
Exactly. And the $10 is, you know, all you can eat, no interference, great quality stuff.
Is that dependent on the quality of your broadband network?
And that's the big issue still, absolutely. So the quality of your broadband network, of course, if you're walking around the street, you know, there are pockets, there are cells where you fall in and out of, I mean, virtually in a sense. So it's not a wonderful experience yet, because if it's a CD or if it's downloaded onto your MP3 player, you own it, it's in your device, it doesn't matter what environment you're in or what's around you, you're going to listen to it in a perfect, pristine manner. But technology, I'm hoping, and most people say, over the next 2 or 3 years will get better. These dropouts, these issues will be less and less, as we've seen as technology's gone in the past. And that's one of the reasons it's not so great yet. But we're talking about it most probably as being the thing that we will do to listen to music for the next 5 to 10 years.
So it's a bit like the electric car. It's a really great idea, but the infrastructure is not quite there yet in many parts. But we'll just wait. It is the way of the future.
Bingo. That's exactly it.
Morris Misiolowski, business futurist. You can find him at morrisyoureyeonthefuture.com or businessfuturist.com. Thank you, Morris.
A pleasure.
Radio Australia, on air and online at radioaustralia.net.au.